Well, I'm sure you've heard Trump for Palin or Palin for Trump. Big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big blow to Cruz, who was cruising in second place. So you have got Tea Party bona fides for Trump. You have evangelical bona fides. You have across the board, people are really tuning into this thing and really getting it. I think across the board support, and this is in the face of all of the political commentators. All of the political commentators at one point or another basically saying that there's no way this guy can do it. And as you recall, it was little Jeb Bush who said, you can't insult your way to the presidency. But in fact, he may be insulting his way to the presidency and doing some other things. Palin, I think represents an area of public politics or whatever you want to call it. It represents kind of a hem of the garment approach to very sincere, very very basic principles, but fundamentally American principles that Sarah Palin has tried to champion. Classic American Christianity, strong military, patriotism, independent small government, all these things, the idea that someone can arise from nowhere and become president of the United States or vice president or whatever. When I first saw the headline, I thought that Trump was picking Palin. It would be too early to pick anybody, but I think that Trump was wise to stay in contact. And I think that shows you how big Sarah Palin is, that Trump is, when what an iconoclast, what a counter spirit that he is, kind of ability to take unpopular positions, that Sarah Palin has been written off basically since she was first announced as the vice president, but has been viciously assaulted, not just by the Democratic Party and left intellectuals, but as roundly dismissed and criticized and attacked by the right, which just goes to show you that people on the right never really defend their own, because they're shivering in the shadow of what they see as this giant vulture of liberalism that's going to come down and pick the flesh off their carcass. But the people on the right are always trying to, the upper crust, the elites of the right are always trying to prove to the left that they've got, they're intellectually superior and all this stuff. And instead of just taking their own position and defending it, they're bringing people out from the castle and sacrificing them. It's pathetic how Sarah Palin was treated. For whatever weaknesses she has, she's 1,000 times better than President Obama would ever dream to be. But anyway, here is Sarah Palin endorses Donald Trump for president.
That she was going to endorse me. I was so honored. You have no idea how honored. And I would like to bring up, if I might, Governor Sarah Palin.
Are you ready to make America great again? We all have a part in this. We all have a responsibility. Looking around at all of you, you hardworking Iowa families, you farm families, and teachers and teamsters and cops and cooks, you rock and rollers and holy rollers. When we're talking about a nation without borders, when we're talking about bankruptcies in our federal government, debt that our children and our grandchildren, they'll never be able to pay off. When we're talking about no more Reagan-esque power that comes from strength, power through strength, well, then we're talking about our very existence. So, no, we're not going to chill. In fact, it's time to drill, baby, drill down and hold these folks accountable. His power, his passion, it's the fabric of America. And it's woven by work ethic and dreams and drive and faith in the Almighty. What a combination. Are you ready to share in that again, Iowa? Because that's what's going to let you make America great again. Are you ready for that, Iowa? No more pussyfooting around. Our troops deserve the best. You deserve the best.
All right. So you listen to her. And you say she is shrill, she is simplistic. Yeah, she's simplistic, but I don't think she's stupid. I mean, I think she's a fairly intelligent person, but she was just, she didn't come out of the Ivy League like all of the other candidates did. And I thought it was a good move by John McCain to bring her on. That only point in the campaign when he was trending above, he was 5 points above Obama, was when he brought Sarah Palin on. And he got some enthusiasm from the grassroots. But anyway, whether you approve of her or not, I would say this is strategically, once again, brilliant. What people like about Trump, you know, somebody came up and said, you know, Trump said, he didn't say 2 Corinthians, he said 2 Corinthians when he's talking about the Bible. Is that an error? Yes, it is. I think what Trump represents is this slice of what America stood for until fairly recently, which was capitalism, which was a strong military, which was skeptical about foreign wars, skepticism about that. We only got involved when we had two, World War One, World War Two. Things changed with the Vietnam War and the other things that occurred, but there was a time when Christianity was the default religion, and nobody challenged that. And undoubtedly, a lot of the people that supported it lacked a deep understanding of Christianity. They might have been born-again Billy Graham crusade members, but realistically, probably they came out of a family that somewhere in the past had a pastor or two. But everything was done through the church. Marriages and burials were done through the church, and the church was kind of the center of the community. Whether he is a Christian or not, it doesn't sound like he's evangelical to me. He doesn't sound born again. But the fact that I think what makes Donald Trump so strong is that he's absolutely fearless in terms of defense, in terms of fighting back. He's you know, his first inclination if somebody swings at him is not to stop and say, wait a minute, are you mad at me? No, he just swings back. And the Republican Party for years and years has been dying for someone who would just stand up and articulate what the party stands for and fight for it. And the idea that you've had so many people up there that are trying to persuade the left, you are never going to persuade the left to step across the aisle, ever. So there's no reason to waste your time trying to get them to see what a great person you are, because they don't believe you're a great person. They believe you're an idiot because you're a member of the GOP or you're conservative. And all of their rhetoric, all of the experiences that they've had have proved that conservatives are stupid. They're rednecks. They're illiterate. They're, you know, fill in the blank. But you've got this guy who's come along, who goes against that, but is really willing to push back. And he's got one other gift that is just almost unparalleled. I was thinking about this. I woke up this morning. I was thinking about this one skill set that this guy has. As Scott Adams says, he is a master wizard. He makes a comment about somebody, you can never get it out of your mind. It's a negative comment, but it's also factually correct. It's a combination of the two. He called Glenn Beck a blubbering idiot, something like that. And that his business is failing. I had not heard that Beck's business was failing. I don't know that it is, but it caused me to do some research, and I found out that his top two advisors have left his company. And one of the advisors, or his CEO, whatever, his CFO, I had dealt with his brother before. His brother is the head of the book section. These are the Balfe brothers. But I just think that politics, I mean, we look back through history and we measure politicians or leaders, kings, whatever they were, by the impact that they had, how effective they were. But, you know, you measure politics when you're alive from the moment that you're living in. And each moment has different factors. It has different elements, some good, some bad. But it's of the moment. It is what is occurring on the ground. It's what's in the air. It's what's in people's minds. It's recent events, tragedies and successes. And it seems to me Trump is the man for the moment now. He's the man for the moment because for whatever reason, whatever strange confluence of fate or divine intervention or however you personally see it. He is able to kind of master the moment. Nobody walks away after a debate. You know, everybody who walks away from a debate with this guy, from an exchange of insults, they walk away putting their fingers in their mouth to see which teeth are loosened or missing. Ted Cruz has been obliterated in about a week. He went after Trump. He went after New York, and he now just all of a sudden loses this endorsement to Palin, and Palin's daughter sees that Cruz has insulted her, and so she gets up there and says, "Shame on you! If it wasn't for my mom, what he had said earlier, if it wasn't for Sarah Palin, Cruz would have never been elected because she barnstormed for him." But you know. Donald Trump says everybody hates Cruz, and Cruz is an extremely unpopular person. He sounds great in a speech, but apparently, people when they meet him, a lot of them dislike him or interact with him. So, it's you know, watching Donald Trump at work is like watching the effects of the Black Plague. Anyway, here is his impact on his enemies or his opponents. Here's another clip. Palin key to Trump locking up Iowa and evangelicals.
Sarah Palin throwing her support to Donald Trump. The Weekend Standard's John McCormick is inside the Trump event where the big endorsement just happened. John, what was it like inside the room? How many people? Any estimates?
There were at least 1,000 people and a lot more outside. So it was a lot of people wanting to get in this event tonight.
What's the likelihood that it has an impact on the evangelical vote that he's trying to get away from Senator Ted Cruz?
I think it'll have a significant impact. You know, there are a lot of undecided voters here. Still, a majority haven't really made up their minds, according to a recent poll. And I've spoken to a lot of people who don't know if they're going to vote for Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. I think this could swing some people over to Donald Trump. It could blunt Ted Cruz's attack on Donald Trump's New York liberal values and issues like abortion, gay marriage. Since Sarah Palin, a lot of people think that she represents heartland values and conservatism and populism.
So she's still popular there?
You know, I don't know how popular she is. She endorsed a lot of candidates in 2014 who did not win their primary races. But I think with a significant portion of people, she still is popular. And with a race that's neck and neck in the polls between Trump and Cruz right now, every little bit's going to help Trump.
All right. John McCormick reporting for us in Iowa. Thank you, John.
So, I mean, I'm sure that she's still popular at some level. But you know, you can't get a public thrashing every other day and still retained, you know, total popularity. But there is something about Sarah Palin that you can't help but like. She never really backs down. Has she said some crazy things? Probably. I mean, if you're in public life enough, you get it recorded. And you know that there's a lot of crazy stuff that Obama has said that nobody's ever shared because the media acts like they're personally related to him. I think that overall, would you rather loan $100 to Sarah Palin or Barack Obama? I mean, Sarah Palin, you know, would pay you back Barack Obama would pretend that you had loaned $100 to the United States, and the theory of getting it back is nonsense. So, I mean, that's, I see the guy as seeing himself as so much better than any other human being. All right, so take a little break here and come back and talk about this a little bit more. And we got a huge storm brewing out there in the east. I'll tell you about that too. And I got some other stories for you, of course. It's 6:22. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And I got your text line here in my hand. And I got a little text here that I'll read when we come back. And we will be right back to pick up where we left off with Palin. We're also mourning the loss of Glenn Frey, a most successful band in American history, Eagles. And he's the one singing on this song.
There's talk on the street, it sounds so familiar. Great expectations, everybody's watching you. They all seem to know you. Even your old friends treat you like you're something new. Johnny come lately, the new kid in town. Everybody loves you.
All right, so we're talking about the seeming inevitable rise of Donald Trump. It's a phenomenon that we don't know if we've ever seen before in American politics, but I will tell you one thing. Hillary Clinton is way, way down in some of these polls. When did it start? It started when Donald Trump went after her about women. You can go back and check the dates of her polling. It's amazing. If she doesn't get up there and call Donald Trump sexist and then get her husband on the campaign trail, I don't think she's down. So Hillary Clinton is an ill-advised person at all times, but I really think she was ill-advised on this one because it's like she's in free fall. And is Bernie Sanders going to beat anybody in a general election? Are we going to embrace socialism? I mean, isn't the argument going to be the problem with America is how much socialism we've brought in here? Already through our current chief. Here is the question of how Palin's endorsement hurts Cruz.
James is now teaming up with the man who has received the most attention this year. Chief political correspondent Carl Cameron is here in New Hampshire, but his story right now is breaking in Ames, Iowa. Good evening, Carl.
Hi, Brett. In just a matter of moments, Sarah Palin will take the stage with Donald Trump and formally endorse the billionaire developer. She, the Republican 2008 vice presidential nominee who ignited conservative passion and liberal outrage across the country, will give the endorsement. It's already been announced and accepted. Trump says he respects her, he appreciates it, but sees her as a fine quality woman. And for Ted Cruz, it's a bit of a blow since it was Sarah Palin who helped get him into the U.S. Senate.
I love Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is fantastic.
Without her friendship and support, I wouldn't be in the Senate today. No love lost for Trump, who Cruz said will work with the liberal left. If you're looking for someone who's a deal maker, who will capitulate even more to the Democrats, who will give in to Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, then perhaps Donald Trump is your man. Cruz had hoped to win Palin's endorsement and took another hit in Iowa from Governor Terry Branstad, who says he wants Cruz defeated because he opposes ethanol subsidies crucial to Iowa's economy.
I believe that would be a big mistake for Iowa to support him.
Trump wasted no time agreeing with the governor's criticism of Cruz.
That's strong feelings. So that will be very interesting. I guess you agree, too.
I agree.
And, you know, he's been mixed on the subject. He goes wherever the votes are.
Cruz suggested ethanol subsidies amount to crony capitalism. The Washington cartel lives on cronyism. It lives on making deals. It lives on picking winners and losers and is supporting corporate welfare. He also blasted Trump for supporting government bailouts.
Mr. Trump enthusiastically supported the TARP big bank bailouts. I disagree with him. We should have no bailouts of Wall Street banks. Mr. Trump enthusiastically supported President Obama's stimulus plan and said the only problem was it should have been bigger.
Earlier in the day at the John Wayne Museum in Winterset, Trump was endorsed by the late actor's daughter.
And I'll tell you what, if John Wayne were around, he'd be standing right here instead of me.
Trump warned Iowa caucus voters not to vote against him.
I'd really like to win. And don't forget, Iowa hasn't picked that winner for 16 years. If they pick somebody other than me, they're going to pick another loser.
He continued his assault on Cruz for being, quote, nasty.
Ted has got a rough temperament. I don't know. You can't start, you know, you can't call people liars on the Senate floor when they're your leader.
Trump and Cruz are dominating the polls, and their battle has been dominating the news, which makes it even harder for the likes of John Kasich, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio to get any attention. But the New Hampshire primary is 3 weeks from today, and the Iowa caucuses 2 weeks from yesterday, Brian.
All right. So one of the things that Cruz represented was kind of this unbridled, or I shouldn't say unbridled, but I would say enthusiastic Protestantism or evangelicalism. Evangelicalism is the most virulent and basically you have to see evangelicalism as kind of the engine of Christianity in America in terms of politics. And so for Palin to come in and endorse someone that many people would say, and including myself, I don't see any indication that Donald is an evangelical over Cruz, who is an evangelical, might seem a little bit surprising, but, you know, you've got to be careful. And I think, you know, people found out with Jimmy Carter claimed to be an evangelical, and he was just an unmitigated disaster in terms of leadership and foreign policy and everything, national policy. His policies led to stagflation. So, you know, choosing a president is not the same as choosing a minister for a church. So, all right, let's take another break here and get some local news. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell will be back and pick up this a little bit more, and I got some more stories for you as well. But we will be right back. 523-1450 is your phone. Call in if you want to, you know, announce or give your opinion on this. And your text line is 805-6180, and I'll read some text when I get back.
You look in her eyes, the music begins to play. A hopeless romance, here we go again. But after a while, you look any other way. It's those restless hearts that never miss. Oh, Johnny come lazy, the new kid in town.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Yes. This is Roger.
It's Kelly, who's this?
Roger.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Who is it?
Roger.
Oh, hey, what's up, brother?
Oh, I just wanted to make a quick statement that I don't know. It just seems to me that it's a sad day in America when we have on one side we have a couple of socialists, and on the other side we have a couple of reality show people getting together.
Roger.
Now it's just
Roger.
A sad day
Roger.
In America.
Roger, can you hear me?
Yes.
Let's just listen. If you hear something on my end, just stop talking for a second. Let me put you on hold and I'll bring you on. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, brother. We have on line here, we have with us Roger, and Roger, all right, so Roger calls up, tells me he wants to say something, and I ask him to hold for a minute, and then he hangs up. So anyway, Roger, if you want to call up, I'm not going to ruin your surprise here. But anyway, there's a lot of people that are critical of Trump, and what's my take on that? Okay, you can wait for the perfect candidate to come along, and the perfect candidate can come along and then go into office, and how perfect is the perfect candidate going to be? There was a lot of criticism of Ronald Reagan as well, and I think that we need to remember that is Donald Trump Ronald Reagan? Certainly not. I mean, you know, but who is Donald Trump would be one of my questions. And so this idea that Ted Cruz has kind of floated out there, the notion that Donald Trump is going to fight for the nomination, and then when he gets into office, he's a true liberal. He's going to capitulate to Nancy Pelosi, to Harry Reid, to Chucky Schumer and all these, and he's just going to do everything the Democrats want. I don't see that playing out that way. And the reason that I don't is, number one, I think you might take a certain position when you're a businessman that you wouldn't take as a politician. And so you can say that we don't know what he believes, but you know, you really don't know what any of these people believe until you see him sit down and take a vote. Isn't this rolling the dice? It's always rolling the dice. You know, you're always rolling the dice. You never know. Look at John Roberts. When they brought John Roberts in as the head of the Supreme Court, he was supposed to be a real conservative. And what was he? I had my concerns when I heard that he was the most connected guy in Washington. He was a very successful lawyer, but he went out to lunch with both sides. He didn't discriminate. He was, and that's a wise business practice, you know, that you would basically have friendly relations with Democrats and Republicans as an attorney. But he was supposed to, and this has happened time and again with these Supreme Court justices, that they come in and they realize that there is a law above the law, and it's not, you know, the law above the law is not the Bible, it's not the natural law, it is liberalism. And it is just tragic to watch it, because it always ends up in creating disasters. I would say that you know, where would America be if we didn't have the Great Society? We've got so many people that are trapped in poverty into this welfare state. And if they could just break out of that, they could have real freedom, and they could have the ability to create real wealth for them and their family. But if you're trapped, this is what people don't understand. It is like putting somebody on a drug. I mean, how effective is somebody going to be that's on, for example, heroin? How disciplined, how focused, how ambitious, how organized is somebody going to be if they're on heroin? They're not going to be, right? Their main goal in life is getting another fix. How ambitious and organized and focused and disciplined and committed and everything, if somebody is has gotten onto into the welfare system. There's a lot of people who get in the welfare system and they don't try to get out because at least it's survival. You know, it's at least a way to survive. So, you know, this idea that Trump is going to get in there and just lay down. He likes to fight. He likes opposition. He likes to push back. Why would he go into the Oval Office knowing that the people who brought him here don't want him to do that and immediately start doing it so he becomes hated? I don't see that happening. Now, I do not claim to know the secret heart of Donald Trump, but it seems to me that he realizes that there is some real power in this movement that he's tapped into, and I don't see him turning his back on it. Ultimately, he might be smart enough to realize that all politics, all effective politics, is representational. Look at the disasters that our president has created by turning his back on representational politics and supposedly standing up for here's the problem. It doesn't matter what truth, and it always tends to be this socialist fantasy, this utopia. What good does supporting socialism, what good is it if the people don't want it? You know, nowhere in the Constitution or Declaration does it say the only legitimate form of government is to represent the will of the people, unless you find the truth. You know, I mean, unless you have a vision of the future, and then you can go against everybody. Imagine if we had a Muslim. I know a lot of you'll say, well, we already have a Muslim in the White House, but seriously, imagine if a Muslim somehow got into the White House and then said, this is the truth I found. This is the truth for all mankind, and we're going to act on it. We're going to make policies based on that. What's the outcome going to be? You know, but isn't it just as legitimate as what the president is doing right now? He's found his personal truth. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. All right, here is this long. Let's see where this thing starts. Okay. All right. God, this is like a book. I just opened a text and it's like a book. All right. Here's the text. The future of Hillary's campaign will be discovered in David Bowie's song Lazarus, played backwards at 33 RPMs. Sounds like something from Mike. There are two levels of attacks going on between the candidates, substantive ones and others. All right. So. Oh, okay, bingo. You hit the nail on the head about conservatives shaking in the shadow of liberalism and not defending themselves. It has been quite suffocating half a century. I think attaching to Palin was risky for Trump nationally, but attaching to her for the first primary was a good counterpunch move to Cruz bringing up the New York New York values. A litmus test of the electric. No, nobody will be able to say this is a boring race. It's getting the feel to be an exciting sporting event. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. Bearing in mind, John Roberts, the Donald is the mark of a successful person. I don't think either Obama or Hillary did this. I didn't see them as being successful leaders. They're not successful leaders. All right, here's a little bit on Palin and evangelicals. All right, so here's the thing. There was an evangelical movement that had come out in, I would say, this is related to Rush Dooney, an author by the name of Rush Dooney, who's an extremely important writer in the history of modern evangelicalism. And he is attached to this kingdom theology that says that all of the laws in the nation should be laws taken out of the Bible. Now, Christian Reconstructionism, the evangelical movement tapped into this idea that the only good leader would be a Christian. Now, speaking, what if you had someone who was a good-hearted Christian, totally devoted to the Bible, totally devoted to God, but had no experience in leadership and didn't have a natural, you know, people have natural personality traits. What if he didn't have the natural personality trait of leadership? How would it turn out? I don't know. But life is more complicated than that, isn't it? I mean, even if you're a Christian, aren't you going to say that there could be a Christian running and a non-Christian, or just say kind of a cultural Christian? And the cultural Christian might be a better leader. Shouldn't you support him? I'm throwing it out there. 523-1450-805-6180. Here's a little clip about Palin and evangelicalism and Trump.
Careful.
Palin throwing her support to Donald Trump. The Weekend Standard's John McCormick is inside the Trump event where the big endorsement just happened. John, what was it like inside the room? How many people? Any estimates?
There were at least 1,000 people and a lot more outside. So it was a lot of people wanted to get in this event tonight.
What's the likelihood that it has an impact on the evangelical votes that he's trying to get away from Senator Ted Cruz?
I think it'll have a significant impact. You know, there are a lot of undecided voters here. Still, a majority haven't really made up their minds, according to a recent poll. And I've spoken to a lot of people who don't know if they're going to vote for Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. I think this could swing some people over to Donald Trump. It could blunt Ted Cruz's attack on Donald Trump's New York liberal values and issues like abortion.
I think we just played this. Let's take a break. This was attached to another clip that we just played. I don't want to be redundant here. We'll be right back here. Got a little weather for you, but that's what I'm going to throw out to you. There's a lot of people in this country, 70 or 80% of the population claims to be Christian. This is a very serious question for you people. You're faced with a choice between a genuine Christian without any leadership experience who doesn't seem very inspiring and may not be that bright, versus another person who's essentially a cultural Christian, not opposed to Christianity, but doesn't appear to be born again, as an evangelical would put it, but appears to have leadership skills out the yin yang, and appears, you know, has experience and everything. Which one are you going to pick? You know, some of these questions, these situations are not cut and dried, you know. 648 523 1450, by the way, and 805-6180. 648, and we'll be right back after a little touch of the weather.
Johnny come lazy, the new kid in town. Will she still love you when you're not
I am surprised that nobody called in to pick up that question, because I think it's an important one. We live in a pluralistic society. That means that we have worked over the centuries to build a society where you don't just have to be a Christian or a Catholic or whatever to take part or to be accepted, Jewish or whatever. And this is the most successful society in the history of the world in terms of accepting these people, and yet the different parts, and yet still keeping freedom and justice and all these things. We've built the greatest society in history. You wouldn't know it by listening to the president, who doesn't appear to be very educated to me on these topics. I don't care how many classes he taught in constitutionalism, because I went back and looked at the name of the course titles that he taught, and they seem to be all race related. So it doesn't seem like he's got any great love for the Constitution. But so maybe somebody in Cruz who is a genuine evangelical, but how do you know he's a better leader than Trump? And how do you, you know? So we have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Richard Barella. How you doing, Kelly?
Richard, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. I was just listening to your show. Very interesting.
What do you think? What's your take?
Well, I mean, like you said, 70-80% of the country is Christian. You know, we should be following Christian. Oh, I think.
Well, yeah, according, you know, well, I mean, if it's leadership by the majority, we should.
Right. Well, isn't that what America's all about?
Yeah, but don't forget there's this very important doctrine that was developed too, which is part of pluralism, called minority rights. And I mean, not minority as to your race, but minority as to belief.
Right. So under that pretext, I mean, I've had somebody tell me that freedom of religion should include Satanism. Do you think that's...
Yeah, well, what a great question. Go back to the founders. Well, we know that the first Americans didn't want witches around because they tried to burn them. But it's a great question. What you have to define what is religion? So that's what we're fighting about right now. I'll throw this out to think about on the break. Is is Islam even a religion as we traditionally understand it? Would Scientology, Satanism, how would the founders define religion? Does it even matter? Because it's our country now. It's not their country. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great question. It's because, I mean, Satanism can be a religion, but as Americans, are we allowed to, should we allow something that's destructive to continue? I mean, think about it. Satanism is all about destruction.
Well, you know, it's funny that the ancient religion, the ancient paganism, Baal worship was, you could kind of describe as Satanism, but I don't know. I mean, we do fight hard for minority rights in the country. And once again, not your race, but your beliefs. So should Satanism really be illegal? I would think that if Satanists were shown to be sacrificing human beings on a regular basis, that would be standing to maybe try to get some laws against it.
Well, yeah, you can actually sacrifice somebody by killing them, or you can sacrifice somebody by oppressing them. I mean, I can't get a job. I'm down to one meal a day. As of the 28th, I'm going to be back out on the street and nobody will let me plant a tent anywhere, much less Community of Hope. They think I'm some kind of big time drug dealer over there, or even worse, because I preach to God and preach against Satanism.
Well, we got about 1 minute left here, but what's your area of training? What do you get at?
Well, I've had training in machinery, as a machinist. I've had training as a paralegal. I've had training as a carpenter. I've worked at utilities construction. I've got a lot of experience, and nobody will give me a job.
Well, it's kind of a rotten economy around here. I am sorry to hear that. If anybody calls in and needs any of those things, I'll keep their number for you. Anything else, Richard?
No, that's about it.
Okay, man. Thanks. Have a good day. All right, folks. So the question here is boiling it down. There's a lot of Christians out there. Would you vote for a Christian candidate over a non-Christian candidate just because they were a Christian, or would you look into their background? Would you choose a non-Christian to lead you if you thought that other person was a better leader? To me, it's an open question for you. Anyway, thanks for listening to the first hour. I enjoyed it. These are some of the great questions of the day. We'll come back and pick those up again. We'll take you out here with a New Kid in Town from our great Glenn Frey, who just passed. We'll be back after a break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. Hey, it's Kelly.
It's Kelly. Are you still looking for an answer for that question?
Who is this?
My name's Art, sir.
Art, let me put you on hold. The show's about to start, okay? I'll bring you on.
Okay.
Well, we got a phone call over the break, and it's Art, and I do have a little weather information, but let's get Art's answer here first. Okay, Art, you had an answer to the question, but what was the question?
Was it about freedom of religion, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'll restate the question, and you can give your opinion of it. You've got a majority of people in the country claiming to be Christians. You know, a couple of questions were thrown out there. Number one, should we have Christian laws as a result of this? But here's another question. A Christian sees that they have a choice to vote between a Christian candidate who doesn't have the experience and doesn't appear to be very inspirational, maybe not have leadership skills versus another person who has leadership skills at the yin yang, claims to be a Christian, maybe a cultural Christian. So what question are you going to answer there?
So I thought that you meant I had an answer for it wasn't real clear, but the way I took it is freedom of religion should be based on, you know, that people have rights for each other, and if they don't, that religion doesn't belong.
Okay, so in other words, let me use a little test of this. If you're, for instance, Muslim and you don't accept that if there's any other religion allowed out there, that Muslim religion shouldn't be allowed.
Well, if they don't have rights for other people, then it's very logical.
Well,
one person's rights ends where another person's rights begin.
Yeah, that the old liberal standard. Your rights to swing your fist end where my nose begins. Now,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah, I find that what I find interesting is that when those people who are Muslims come from their country in the Middle East over here, and they celebrate their rights and then, you know, to practice their religion. And then a lot of them will get up and advocate and say, you know, you're not giving us our rights. They don't have rights in their own Muslim country. They don't have religious rights other than to be a perfunctory Muslim. You can't be a Christian in a lot of these countries or practicing Catholic or whatever. You can't have a Bible. You can't have a cross. I find that strange that they would come over here and act like they're being put upon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, if somebody believes in their ship, that they're, or the vessel that they're using, which is like a religion, they should fix it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Time for the Muslims to fix their religion. I agree. I mean, that's the call out there. When there's all these attacks, you very rarely hear any kind of a group of Muslims standing up. They do occasionally, but a lot of times you just hear silence from the Muslim community, which is strange.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the Bible states that a lot of people are being misled, and they'll be that way in the last days. So that's just, what apparently it looks like.
Well, okay, so you consider yourself a believer, so would you choose the firing and apparently untested Christian leader, or would you choose another person who seemed to have a lot more leadership skills?
Well, people don't really make good leaders as far as God's concerned, so really God has to be the leader, and if he's not, it's never going to work.
So you choose the Christian?
I don't know, but well, it depends on the situation.
Of course, but I mean, you could end up with another Jimmy Carter. We've got another call here, Art. Is there anything else?
No, that'll be all.
Good call. Thanks for the call. Call back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. It's Bev Courtney.
Bev Courtney, what's going on?
Well, you're talking about would you choose a leader or a Christian that is more...
What do you think?
Fundamental. I think you got to look at what they've done at their work.
Okay.
And if they're a leader and they get things accomplished, I think that's I mean, we are a huge world power that has to have some steady leadership. So,
is it possible, in your opinion, would it be possible that Trump would be the better leader between him and Cruz, since that's the topic in the news?
He does have to reach across the aisles, and he doesn't have the right question.
There's two he's involved in the question, so who are you talking about?
Okay, Trump. Trump has been able – he understands the other side.
Right.
And I think that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
He's played their game, and he rejected it.
Yeah, I mean,
and he knows how to deal with them.
I think this idea that Trump is going to get up and immediately morph into – the worst kind of liberal and just lay down in front of Nancy Pelosi, that just doesn't really seem like the direction things are headed.
Right, right.
Okay.
So,
and so
I support Trump.
Okay. So what are your feelings about Palin's endorsement? Does it mean anything?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Because she's just your average working person. She did great things when she was governor. She's an American. She shares my values. So that's important to me.
Very good. Anything else?
We were talking about Muslims and their freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fine as long as they keep their law out of it. The thing is, they have not just a religion, but it's tied in with their politics.
You could argue historically their politics come first. I could prove it. I could bring out one of my many interesting Muslim books and talk about the history of it, how Islam developed. If the political system develops before the religious system, can't you say it's politics first?
Yes, definitely.
And so how should that be reflected in the laws? I'm not advocating for any position, but I want to know people's opinion.
There is no room for their law in America. Our law is built on freedom and justice for everybody, including women and children. We protect children. It's incompatible with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they can practice their religion, but they cannot practice their law.
Interesting. And we see that the attacks on women in Europe seem to be totally consistent with their view of life. I got another call. Thanks for the call, Bev. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim.
Jim, yeah, go ahead.
Good. The term Christian is bandied about today so much that you have to ask the question, what is a Christian
sure.
mean? What's it mean in today's society?
Sure.
We have a president who says he is a Christian.
Yes.
And look what we have. You're correct. Absolutely right. And I think we all know that Jimmy Carter declared himself to be a Christian. And he does works that a Christian would do, but his policies certainly were not advantageous to our country in the sense of, the true belief.
Yeah.
Somebody coming along and says that Trump is or is not a Christian, that's a judgmental call, you know?
Right. Well, but I mean, I would say that from an evangelical standpoint, he doesn't seem to... I've never heard him model or state anything that would be along the lines of an evangelical born again statement, John 3:16 type of thing. But my bigger question is, if Cruz is a real Christian according to the evangelicals, Trump's not. Isn't it still possible that Trump would be a better leader, even to
he
a Christian?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Even to a Christian. I mean, here's the thing. We live in a pluralistic country. If everybody, if there was a purity test, if the only people who could hold office, like in some countries, the only people that can hold office are in a Muslim country, the only people that can hold office are Muslims. If there was a purity test here, then there wouldn't be as much of a debate, but you've got leadership skills. There's a doctrine in the Bible called unconditional, trying to remember I'll think of the term, but the idea is the rain falls on the just and the unjust, so that some people have a strong skill set without ever having made any inference to Christianity. They've never made a confession. They will tell people I'm an atheist or agnostic. And it's a very important doctrine in Protestantism that some people are talented and their God-given talents, even though they don't recognize God. So the question is, in this culture, would it ever be acceptable to a Christian to choose a non-Christian leader over a Christian leader if that person seemed to be more talented or, you know, have, you know, more genius to lead?
Well, Kelly, like it or not, the people that, for example, in the last election, I'm not saying that Romney was the best choice, but he certainly, by his works and what he's done, would have been a better choice than the president we have now. That there are people who did not vote for him because of it wasn't the religion that they liked. So therefore, how do you judge a person as to their belief because you don't agree with what they say or what they do? You quote a scripture there, which is absolutely correct. And Jesus also said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So he exhibited those works, but we're not perfect.
Yeah,
we cannot agree. You know,
the phrase is common grace, and it's hugely important from a sophisticated Protestant view, because these gifts are kind of spread out. And the teaching in the Bible is that the gifts of God given to mankind are given to man to serve other people. So it is a kind of a sophisticated question. It's not meant to be a trick of any kind. I've got another call. Was there anything else?
No, Kelly, I just want to say Bev is stepping down as Tea Party leader. Kind of sorry, I hate to see that. Yeah.
No, well, Bev's done a good job. Thanks for the call, Jim. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey, Kelly. How you doing this morning?
Good, Jeffrey. And what's on your mind?
Just a couple quick things. One, Christians look to a Christian leader not because of necessarily their ability. We look for them for their core values and everything that they have instilled, because they normally would make their decision based on biblical guidance.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people say they're Christians, but true Christians don't necessarily, they say they're Christians, but they also, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is that we are believers.
Okay.
We believe in the Bible says. And when it comes to whether, who is a better candidate, Trump or Cruz, you know, I think either one of them would serve their country well. I think that as far as like foreign policy and being knowing how to talk and negotiate with the other side, Trump would probably be better because he has done that. He has got businesses and stuff all around the world. So he knows how to talk to other countries and other dignitaries.
He's astute.
Work through their policies.
Jeffrey, he's astute.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, he's astute and experienced, and he's got a wealth of experience, not just a little in politics, but a great deal in business and everything. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Could you foresee a justifiable choice made by a real Christian based on the idea? They deduce Cruz is a Christian. They deduce that Trump probably isn't. He's not an enemy of the Bible. He's supporting the Bible, but he's not a Christian. Could you see a place where a justifiable decision by a Christian to choose a Trump over a Cruz in that
case? Yes, I could, because it boils down to who we think is, who has the most experience in leading the country. Is Christian values important to a Christian? Without a doubt. But if not, I would like to think people would not choose a Christian over a non-Christian just because they're Christian and not qualified for the position.
Well, you know, there was this movement that's still pretty powerful out there, Christian Reconstructionism, who argued that basically God gives this blueprint for mankind in the Bible with all the laws and rules, and it's essential that the country would adopt that, and then it would have Christian leaders. And it's very inflexible from that standpoint.
Well, but the only flaw with that is, in the very beginning, there were two people, both of them were very devout. You can't say they wasn't any more Christian than what they were, Adam and Eve, and they had one rule, and they couldn't follow that one rule. So,
hey, Eve was the original feminist.
This is true.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, you know, that right there just kind of just debunks what they're saying is out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Great call. Call back, Jeff. I got to take a break, but great call. All right, folks, I've got Jess Williams in the studio, and we're going to take a break and come back and talk to him about county stuff. You know how exciting that's been. And he's already laughing. And here's a song that was written by Glenn Frey and Don Henley, Take It to the Limit. They wanted Randy Meisner, who had the beautiful and most the highest voice in the Eagles. They wanted him to have a hit, and it was a huge hit. And I think it might be the Eagles' greatest song, Take It to the Limit. Anyway, 7:21 a.m., Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 is your call-in, 523-1450, and your text, 805-6180. 805-6180. The text is back after a long break, and we ourselves will be back to talk to Jess Williams. All right, so we're here with Jess Williams, and he's got the latest from the wonderful sideshow called Dona Ana County.
In Dona Ana County, Kelly, if you are worried about how your tax dollars are being managed and spent, Dona Ana County is celebrating our fifth year, consecutive year of an absolutely clean audit, absolutely no findings. There's no other county in the state of New Mexico that can make that.
Wow.
Attestation. And there's only one other city in the state of New Mexico, one city in the whole state that can say they've had clean audits for 5 years in a row. It's the village of Causey in Roosevelt County, population 104. So their books aren't quite as complicated as Dona Ana County's, but they're the only other municipal entity that can make the claim of 5 years, consecutive years of clean audits.
So what do you attribute that to?
Really strong controls. We have department heads sometimes who complain about how hard it is to get purchases through, to get things through the county. But
like Kiki?
Well, not just Kiki. I mean, I've even complained about, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to purchase things sometimes because there are so many controls and checks and balances. But those checks and balances mean that from year to year, we're getting these clean audits. So we're very proud of our finance department for that. We also want to just point out that our county attorney, Nelson Gooden, is also a Cub Scout master, and he took the PAC 316 Cub Scouts through our fire facility a few weeks ago. They had a great time. About 32 kids went through, and we do these tours. We show them. We've got a wonderful training facility for volunteer and paid firefighters, and it's used by firefighters from all over the region. It's not just Dona Ana County because it's the only one of its kind in the region. It's a really great facility. We also have a
Where is it located?
It's off of Lakeshore Drive. I've got the address here. Portland Drive, which is off of Lakeshore, kind of over behind, when you go under the overpass on Motel Boulevard, like you're headed toward Mesilla, if you take your first left, then that's it. Barnett Harley Davidson is also located on Lakeshore. So go by there and check it out. We also have a mobile trailer that's really cool that simulates kitchen fires and house fires. And we use that to take kids. We use for adults to show them how to put out a kitchen fire, how to manage a kitchen fire. And for kids, we show them, if you're in your bedroom, shut your door, put a towel underneath to keep smoke from coming in, feel that door. If it's hot, do not open it and get out the window. And we encourage people to, families especially, to create an evacuation plan in the event of a fire and a place to meet outside so we know that everybody's okay. If you live up in the Talavera area, you're going to see some road work that got started this week. Dripping Springs Road and Baylor Canyon Road are going to be improved. Dripping Springs will actually get some pavement. That project is going to last through the month of April. It's going to have pilot vehicles. You're going to expect slowdowns in those construction areas. This is a $2.8 million project. It's a big project.
What are they going to do?
Well, like I said, on Dripping Springs, they're going to actually improve the roadway and then pave it. and on Baylor Canyon, they're going to do improved gravel roadway for about 2.8 miles. So it is a big project, and we think it's going to last till about the end of April. So expect delays. Please exercise caution wherever workmen are present, and we will have, of course, the pilot cars and the detours set up. County personnel are going to be in Chaparral tomorrow, going door-to-door from animal controls, codes enforcement, planning, and vector control. They'll be knocking on doors, educating residents on how to come into compliance with county ordinance to beautify the area where they live. We've done these all over the county. They're very popular. This is not, we don't view this as an opportunity to go out and write citations. This is an educational outreach to say, here's how to come into compliance. And we always follow up with bringing a big roll-off container into the community. We'll do that on Saturday, January 30th in Chaparral. People can throw away their unwanted stuff, and we'll haul it off for free. Like more information about the ACES program.
Is there any limitation on what they can throw? You know, sometimes, you know, they'll say don't throw paint away, don't throw away batteries.
You know, I don't know whether they place those restrictions on it, but they'll be educating people door to door, and I'll have the answer to that question the next time I come on.
All right.
Okay. The number to call if you'd like to talk about the ACES program, 525-8846. And our ADA Advisory Committee is meeting on Friday at 3:30 p.m. in Multipurpose Room 111 of the Government Center. That meeting is, of course, open to the public if you're interested in ADA issues. The Board of County Commissioners meeting next Tuesday at 9 a.m. That's a pretty short agenda, but we've got a really cool thing on it. Commissioner Rawson asked that we do a proclamation in honor of Coach Lou Henson and his induction into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. We're hopeful that Coach will join us and his wife will join us for the presentation of that proclamation. That ought to be pretty cool. Otherwise, pretty short agenda, only five items on that agenda. It may get amended.
Wow.
We may get some more on there before it's all over. I want to remind people that chaining laws have changed in the county, significant changes in chaining laws. If you have a dog, you can no longer just keep it on a chain all the time. It can't be on, it can't be tethered to a stationary object for more than 2 hours in any 12-hour period. If it's on a chain, that chain can't weigh more than 1/8 of the animal's body weight, and it has to have toggles at each end. The dog has to be able to lie down to move naturally at all times.
It needs to have water.
Food and water.
Yeah,
food and water and shade. So those changes are being made, and we'll get we have more information about this up on our website if you go to the animal control page. And, you know, Kelly, I just want to take a minute. I know that you've talked about it. Everybody's talking about it, but...
Miguel.
Yeah. He was a friend for a long time. And he was a county commissioner back in 2000. And we served the last 6 years together on the board of directors of the Animal Services Center. And, you know, you just can't, there are just no words. This guy was always so cheerful and so upbeat. And you ask him how he was, he would say, I'm blessed. And it's just hard to imagine what would lead to the decision that he made. I hope with all my heart that it was the right decision for him, because it's sure hard for the rest of us who are left behind.
I disagree with that decision, and I'm starting to feel a little bit mad at him because, you know, I really love the guy, and I thought he was a great person, and I just don't think that's the right decision to make. But, I mean, we can disagree on it, and there's no reason to disagree with the dead, but... I just feel like he had more to offer, and the people that knew him knew that he had more, you know?
Well, I think everybody, I certainly thought that he would emerge again as a community leader, that he would find a new path. And, you know, God alone knows what he was struggling with.
Yeah.
Final hours.
I mean, unless you've been through it, I've never contemplated suicide. I've never tried to take my life. So I'm in no manner fit to be an expert on that, but I do think that we're here for a purpose and life is worth living. And although I don't know what he was going through, I just wish that he had called me, because I considered him a close friend, and I just wish that he had let me in on the conversation he was having in his head. You know,
I was having this conversation last night with another mutual friend of Miguel's, and the comment was made that how he opened up, 300 or more people would have broke their neck trying to get to him.
Well, I wonder how many people felt the same way that I did. You know, he had this gift of openness and connecting to people and kindness and warmth that you don't really see that much anymore.
I loved what the Sun News editorial today said. That, he, when he was a county commissioner, he was a Republican. but he seemed much more comfortable on the nonpartisan city council, where he was able to choose his issues and what side he wanted to be on without regard to any political party. And he truly was his own individual. He thought out things in Miguel's way. Nobody could tell him what to think. I'm going to miss his voice and his smile and his presence.
Yeah. And what else can you say? You love the guy and he's gone. And I am a little bit mad at him for doing that. But, you know, only because I cared about him so much and I thought so highly of him.
Right. Well, selfishly, we want him around.
Yeah.
But like I said, it had to have been a difficult decision to make. And I really hope it was the right decision for him, because it sucks for me. I miss him.
I'm on the record for saying that's the wrong decision to make, where there is a purpose that we're here. We were talking about it previously, you know, God's touch on the world and everything. But I think we're here until we're taken away. And I would say to anybody who's ever struggled with that or is going to struggle with it in the future, hang in there. Hang in there, because there's more in your future than you can ever possibly imagine, especially on dark days. There's so many more things that are going to happen to you that are going to be on the upside. Just hang in there for that. You gotta have a little patience. You gotta roll with the punches. But anyway, I love the guy, and I'm just sad he's gone. That's the summary.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, are you taking off?
Yeah, I got to go to the others.
All right. So thanks again to Jess Williams, and we'll be right back to continue on. And Kelly O'Connell, 735 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call, 805-6180 to text. We'll be back. All right, so had Jess in here, and you could just see Jess teared up a little bit just talking about Miguel. That's the kind of guy Miguel was. I mean, what else can you say? All right, so we've got a little. I told you I was going to bring you some weather information. There's a huge storm brewing in the east.
There's a look at Philadelphia, quiet now, but they are bracing for what could be a major weekend storm coming in Friday right through Sunday. Now, it's not just Philly. It's all the major cities along I-95 from Virginia all the way up to Boston. Now, not only are we dealing with a lot of snow, but we are also going to see the potential for coastal flooding. The winds will be a major issue with this as this storm rides up the coast. So that is something we're going to be watching as well. Now, this storm really gets going by Friday, late afternoon, Friday evening. That's when we'll see it move into the mid-Atlantic. So we're talking the potential for very heavy snow that is going to ride up the coast. By Saturday, we'll see this move into New York and Boston, and Sunday will be the trailing edge of this storm. Now, as far as storm totals, yes, we all want to know about that. Still dealing with very heavy snow, expecting heavy snow through the mid-Atlantic. Now, this could still change, but we are still talking that this will be a major snow event from Washington up through Philly and New York and Boston. We're talking several inches. In some cases, we could even see a foot or more of snow.
Big time storm, in other words. So, those guys are going to have their work cut out for them. And here is a little bit on the ice that's coming. And this is also in the same area.
3 to 4 inches coming down through Omaha, Nebraska. They are dealing with winter weather woes, and we're going to see more of that now through the Ohio Valley as this storm moves east. Ice is going to be a major concern with this storm as it pushes through today. So we have snow and ice with this system, and the ice will be the worst of it, as we could see about a quarter of an inch of ice that will set up back through Little Rock and push right through Tennessee into Chattanooga. We could even see a little bit of that sneak into northern Georgia. So that means the roads will be terrible, and we could also see some serious power outages. Also dealing with snow with this system, we're looking at a widespread 1 to 3 in and around the Louisville area. We could see some isolated higher amounts of 3 to 5 around Knoxville.
All right. So, and if you're watching,
during winter, we talk about,
if you keep an eye on these things, you will see back in California and the coast of Oregon the same thing that we've been seeing for the last few months, the pounding of the coast with rain and snow inland, and it's just gone on and on. And so hopefully, I believe that the extreme drought in California has been moved down from 40, I think like in the last couple of weeks, 48% to 42%. So as that rain comes into California, and as the snowpack builds up in the Sierra Nevadas, you're going to see the severe drought numbers come down. And I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but they had said that the amount of water that they got in South Carolina, you know, a few months ago when it flooded there, was 3 or 5 days of that, I think. 5 days of that flooding there would have wiped out the entire drought from California, which is pretty amazing, seeing as it has gone on for 4 or 5 years. All right. Speaking of which, let's take time for a little bit of our own weather, and we'll be right back after this to continue on with this question of Trump and Cruz and Palin and what kind of leadership we need in this country. So let me check for your headlines here. Blizzard warning, green guru could go Sanders. Not really sure what that stands for. And they're calling Clinton's world Nixonian. A celestial spectacle, 5 planets are aligning in the night sky. Maybe the day sky. Global stock markets are diving amid oil rout, and that is a developing story. Let me see what else you might be interested in here. Trump is up 32 points in Florida. Donors are quietly coming around. What does the Trump phenomenon mean? What does it stand for? What's the meaning of it? The meaning of it is a couple of things. You can't dismiss any of these things. The GOP is the people on the ground, the grassroots, the people that listen to this show that are in their minds are oriented towards the Republicans or conservatism. libertarianism, or maybe just being a little centrist, a little right to the center, are sick of seeing conservative ideas treated like people that they vote into office are afraid to go and fight in Washington. They're sick of these deals like the Paul Ryan deal, in which they just capitulated on Planned Parenthood and a bunch of other important things to conservatives. And they're sick of seeing people representing them who sneer at them once they get into power. And so Trump stands for, he is representative of the people that are, they've had it and are sick of not having someone stand up for him. So I think that's really, doesn't get any more basic than that. And then, you know, you've also got people that are deeply concerned that that more of this kind of like mindless, brainless leftism, socialism that Obama represents, just extraordinarily arrogant but totally mindless leadership is just going to destroy the country. And there's a lot of people out there that believe that there is a core element in the left that's represented by the president that want to see this country taken down and punished for some whatever real or imagined sins of the past. And they see Trump as a bulwark, as a fence, as a citadel, as some sort of a castle or some sort of a wall between that and destruction. And there, and people are scared. People on the right are just sick, and they're also nervous. They're scared that this kind of continuing encroachment of liberalism is just going to destroy the economy. Has already had an extremely negative effect on the youngest people in their sense of entitlement and anti-Americanism that seems to be growing every day. The disinterest in the military or opposition to any military strength. And this idea that there's the border is a fiction and that anybody who shows up on the border has to be let in. And not only that, given immediate rights, and not only that, given immediate social welfare benefits, welfare and everything. And they realize that those ideas represent, taken to its logical extreme, the destruction of America. That's why people are supporting Trump, I believe, because he's not afraid to stand up and fight. And everybody he fights against is just mortally wounded. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. It's Richard Borrella again. I wanted to comment, well, not only is this God's country, but it's God's planet. It's not liberalism that's destroying this country and this planet. It's Satanism. It can't be allowed, and it won't be allowed.
Richard, define Satanism so people can understand what you're saying.
Well, go down Mesquite Street. It's called Our Lady of Health. That is a satanic church. Straight up.
You're saying that the Catholic Church is satanic?
Don't you, have you ever been there? I mean,
I've never been there. I'm not Catholic.
Well, I think Las Cruces needs to start paying attention to what's going on around here.
Well, what is it about that church that you claim is satanic?
What about it?
Please.
Well,
I really don't
know Satanism, but, you should go in there and.
All right. Well, look, if you don't know Satanism, then how are you possibly picking groups out of the crowd and saying this group is satanic?
Okay. Well, look at the top spires. There's one cross facing one way, and there's another cross facing another way.
And
kind of Satanism.
But if you don't know Satanism, how do you know that? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. What you just said. You don't know Satanism. You've never studied it, but you know these things are satanic. That statement in and of itself sounds ridiculous.
Well, so you admit that, well, it doesn't matter whether I know the facts or not. It is a fact
why?
That there's a satanic church here in town.
Why? Please give us some fact that will support that idea.
Well, I don't want to learn that religion. Why should I have to learn that religion?
Why?
Look, point to you.
That's like saying I've never tasted meat, but I know it tastes terrible.
Well, you know, I know meat has blood in it.
All right, Richard. Listen.
So you mean to tell me that just because I've never seen blood coming out of meat, there's no blood in meat?
That's not an analogy. That's, you know, that's totally different. But
no, it's not. It's the same.
Richard, I don't know anything about Satanism, but I know these things are satanic. That 100 out of 100 people are going to find that out to be a confusing and a contradictory statement.
Because I had a police sergeant trying to reason with me that Satanism was a religion and it's covered under the First Amendment.
All right. Well, listen.
What I'm trying to tell you is this is God's planet and God's country, and Satanism is not allowed.
All right. Okay. Satanism. So thank you. Do some research on Satanism and call us back. Thanks. Folks, we'll take a break and be right back. Finish the show.
I always say planet folk.
All right, we just have a minute or two left here, but we just got a call from Richard about Satanism. I got a call right now, but hold on. I just bought a book, Solomon's Secret Arts, The Occult in the Age of Enlightenment, and this is based on the Hermetic tradition, and the Hermetic tradition is all of these claims by these groups in the modern age of mysticism and magic and everything, that they're recapitulating the ancient religions, this ancient paganism, and they're not, according to this book, because we really don't know everything that they believed. But it's an interesting book. I encourage you to get it. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. You have 30 seconds.
This is Alan. I got two ideas and thoughts here for you to close the show out today. Number one is, if oil was so low right now per barrel, would it make sense to take all my savings and buy barrels of oil if that's possible, and then resell it when it goes back up like stocks?
Sounds interesting.
Concept number one, you know, Don, Donald, James, Jimmy, Richard. Well, you know what they call Richards. Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. So, anyway, thanks for the call. So anyway, this Hermetic tradition, it's based on the word Hermes, the god Hermes. But I'll get into it a little bit more. I'll bring the book in and read just a few passages. But anyway, Satanism is things done in the spirit of Satan, I guess. And Richard Barella is saying, look out for it. I've never studied it, but I know it when I smell it. And anyway, have a great day. Thanks for listening. And Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I really enjoyed spending time with you, and we'll be back in 22 hours. Ciao.